May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? Well, I'm aware that my presence with you this morning is something of a disruption. You weren't expecting me here. I hope you're happy that I'm here, but you weren't expecting me. You weren't expecting that I would be with you to share some difficult news, as I did at the beginning of today's service. You were not expecting a season of upheaval and disruption in your life as a parish community. In reflecting on the gospel reading, which we heard a moment ago, it reminds me that disruption is rarely easy or convenient. 2,000 years ago, the people of God knew something about volatility in their own life together as a community. In addition to the ebb and flow of the changes of life as we know it, the ancient people of God experienced what it was like to live under very difficult circumstances. They lived under the thumb of various oppressors, the Roman occupiers of their land, the Pharisaic occupiers of their religion. And because of these things, they themselves knew what it was like to live on the very edge of survival in many different ways. Perhaps the only thing in which they felt secure, the only thing that perhaps nobody could take away from them, was their temple, the center of their home, the heart of their very identity. Even if everything else fell down around them, surely the temple, the great temple in Jerusalem, would remain. It had withstood attacks through the centuries, as we know, and even when it was plundered and desecrated and destroyed by the Babylonians, we know that it was rebuilt to stand strong for another day, a sign of God's fidelity to God's people and God's people's fidelity to their God. That's what they thought, anyway. And then we come across the reading in Mark's Gospel today, where we hear Jesus say, even here, even in the bedrock of your own identity as God's own chosen people, even here, not one stone will be left standing upon another. I think Jesus' message to the crowds that day was that a massive change was coming. What we might call a sea change. And if it involved the destruction of the temple, chances are that the change was going to be even more cataclysmic than people could imagine. Earthquakes, Jesus says, famines, wars, rumors of wars. It was going to be the end of their world as they knew it. Well, I don't think, as many of us begin to hear Christmas carols in the shopping malls, that most of us are actually prepared to really grapple with these kinds of apocalyptic texts when we're all supposed to be happy and joyful in this season. Oh, sure, they may be fine for those cranky Old Testament prophets that we read about, like Daniel and Zechariah, or perhaps the eccentrics like St. John the Divine, as his dreams and visions fill the pages of the book of Revelation. But when Jesus starts talking this way, what do we make of it? For many of us, the apocalypse and our contemplation of the apocalypse is the stuff of old sci-fi movies where a giant asteroid or a group of aliens threatens the earth with obliteration. But I believe that the gospel today calls us to take seriously these very complex texts. If we are paying attention to the signs and the language embedded in them, we are called to contemplate an end of sorts, or perhaps a series of ends, even for us. I'm aware recently of the cumulative effect of various traumatic events in the life of our culture. The attack on the synagogue in Pittsburgh just a couple of weeks ago, the plight of those in the migrant caravans between Mexico and the U.S. who just arrived in the last couple of days. Here in our own province, trans people who have been undermined this week as the government did away with the Trans Day of Remembrance with a stroke of a pen. and in so many other ways, the erosion of human rights and dignity all around the world. If I'm right, I believe we are tapping into an increased sense of vulnerability for many people, not only migrants and minorities and the marginalized, but you and me. And the kind of trauma that we experience ourselves or that we witness in the world around us, this kind of trauma changes us. I'm also mindful of the impacts on our planet, the scourge of climate change and global warming that remind us that in so many ways we have done irreparable damage to our planet. At Provincial Synod a few weeks ago, we heard a report from the International Chamber of Commerce. The report says that we have 12 years, that's all, just 12 years to make significant change to the ways we live on this earth. And if we have not done so by the end of this 12-year period, it won't matter what heroic things we are able to do after that. It will simply be too late. So it's not so ridiculous to think that the end or a series of ends is coming, that we are called to contemplate even in our daily lives how some things are coming to an end and new things are being born. Kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall. But I believe that the apocalyptic texts before us today are only fearful and make us fearful if we allow them. Did you know that the word apocalypse actually comes to us from a word that means uncovering or disclosing? So I believe that in the reign of God, there is never really an end to one thing without the creation of something new, the uncovering, the disclosing of God's new revelation for us. And what Jesus was uncovering for the crowds that day was that the true temple was not the one that was propped up on large stones in the center of Jerusalem. Rather, the true temple was standing before them, speaking these words, ushering in a new age through his life and teachings, and then ultimately through his own death and resurrection. Yes, an end was near, the end of an age. But life would go on in new and abundant ways for the disciples, in ways that they could not yet comprehend. The old practices of temple sacrifice were about to be gone, and their faith would not rest on the sacrifices of old, but rather on the faith of the one true sacrifice, Jesus the Christ. The end of all that they knew would set them free to go out into the world, proclaiming what had been disclosed to them, that God so loved the world that God gave his only Son for the redemption of that world. This was the apocalypse. This was the end of an old world order and the beginning of something new and wonderful and magnificent because it was of God. For us, on a weekend such as this, on a day such as this, as we come into the church to see two cars crashed on the corner of this property, on a day when we contemplate some difficult news for this community, we may well be tempted to wring our hands and lament about the end of our peace, the end of our security, the end of our confidence as a parish community. But even here, even today, even now, the gospel calls us to look beyond those fears and to look to the hope of a new age that is dawning by the grace and mercy of God. God is still calling us into new life, if we will only have eyes to see that. And if we do, we can accept the invitation of God to continue to be partners with God in the renewal of the church and of the world. And lest you forget what amazing ways God has blessed this community, remember the ways that God's love has been uncovered and disclosed here in this place. You are a leading parish, not only in this diocese, but in the Anglican Church of Canada, and indeed beyond, in the ways of outreach and social justice and gospel proclamation, which is not tied to any particular individual, but rather to this community. remember that for those of us in the LGBTQ community, you have been a leading prophetic voice, that you have led the way in the ways of Indigenous justice around TRC, that you have been a leader in so many ways. Look around at those who are sitting with you in the pews. Look ahead at the front of the church to see your clergy and your lay leaders. You are a gift, and you have been a gift to others. My fervent hope today, indeed my fervent belief, is that there is always something apocalyptic at work in this place. And I mean apocalyptic in that truest sense, that God, in God's goodness, is always uncovering and disclosing new revelations in your midst, not just among you, but through you, even in the most difficult and unlikely of circumstances. Whatever the future may hold, I pray that a new period of renewal is in store for us in this particular corner of God's vineyard. And you have my word as your area bishop that I will do everything in my power to walk with you as that unfolds. Like the earliest disciples, our true temple is not one that has been constructed by human hands, as glorious as a place as this is. Rather, our true temple is Christ, the cornerstone, who lies at the very heart of our peace, our security, our comfort, and our very future. Through the ages, many have expressed this sense of faith and trust in the abiding presence of Jesus Christ, especially in difficult times. And I think one of the most beautiful expressions of this is attributed to the great Celtic saint, Patrick. In closing today, may his words be our comfort and our hope on this difficult day. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Amen.